When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's episode of the Mind Sculptors podcast is sponsored by TCG Player, your source for all your trading card game needs. Use our link in the description the next time you get your cards to help support the show. Today's episode is also made possible by our Patreon subscribers. If you want to support the show directly, head over to patreon.com/themindsculptors and you can become part of the Sculpty family today. Or if you don't want to do any of that, leave a like and comment on YouTube or a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts as an offering to Algorithm Jesus.
Yeah, I want to talk about my weekend because it's pretty sick.
Yeah, I heard you won another time twister.
No. No, but I did walk away with a
more money than a time twister, actually. But
yeah, I think if you add it up, so a full set of duels, which is pretty sick, including 9 revised duels and an unlimited underground sea. Pretty hot.
I didn't realize it was an unlimited underground sea. That's sick.
Yeah, they were like, "Well, guys, it's only like technically 9 revised duels," and then we were like, "Oh, okay. What's the last one?" They were like, "It's an unlimited underground sea," and I was like,
"You guys really buried the lead on that one."
Yeah. So that was very cool. And on top of that, I had one of my coaching folks, my coaching recipients, my coachees. They made top 4 of chaos too, which was super sick.
That's awesome. I'm very proud of you. Like, I think you are kind of putting to bed some of the like variance debate around like CDH, or, oh, it's such a high variance format. And it's like, no, it's just, you got it. Like, it is a format that tests different skills.
Yeah.
And I think
it is a high variance format, right? But like, one of the main skills that you need to have as CDH player is adapting right to the variance, and reacting accordingly. Right. Like, yeah, there's definitely times where, I played a game last weekend, which you can hear on my channel as I do a full breakdown of my time playing that tournament where I won all the duels. But you can hear, like, talk about a game where, like, one of the players just, like, wins on the play, turn 2, 0 tutors, in, like, Bobo Fibble Flip. Like, just, like...
And you're just like, all right, well, I guess you had it.
Yeah, like, literally, like, nothing we could do about it. Oh, through a Mind Break Trap, I want to be clear. Like...
Sometimes you just have the nuts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and we were just like, all right, sick, good game. Like,
I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not like you don't have non-games like that in like Modern or Legacy.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That, like, still exists.
For sure, right, right.
Like, getting the nuts is not unique to Commander.
I think, like, you know, there's like snowball potential, but like, it's also a self-correcting format. I mean, we could go into hour-long debates about this stuff, right? Yeah.
Well, as you were winning duels this weekend, I was slowly making progress on winning the Lime Scooter. I don't know what to call it, but the war against the Lime Scooters.
Yeah, the Great Lime Scooter War of 2024.
So they have migrated away from our apartment altogether.
Yeah.
Good. Now. They are in front of the local bar that I like to attend. That is around, really... like, right up the corner. And again, so on Sunday we went to there's literally a bar like right around the corner from us, like a block away. So we walked down, and we were going there. It was St. Patrick's Day. I was like, shit, that's awesome. Let's go watch some soccer. Let's go like get some wings. Let's hang out. A good time. And I walk up, and the first thing I see in front of the fucking door is those goddamn Lime Scooters. And I thought the war was over, but it had just moved. We had just pushed them to the edges of the kingdom. And it's, but slowly but surely they are moving farther and farther away from my world. And
now, now viewers at home, I'll never convince you or even attempt to persuade you to harass a fellow creator. But like, if you,
I'm not a fellow creator. I'm a coworker. I am a colleague, right? You know,
but like, if you happen to be in the Louisville area and you happen to just like, you know, have a few hours in your weekend and you feel like taking a little bit of a ride, just like see what happens if you bring a lime scooter around town, you know?
It's a big city. You might miss me, you know?
Yeah, it's a big city. You never know what happens. But like, open yourself up to possibilities is just where I'm getting at, you know?
Okay, so Calhoun's address is... No, don't do that. That's so funny. No, it's I thought that we had moved past it, and then I went to the bar on Sunday and I saw that and I was like, God damn it. I was so close to being past this shit. Yeah. I thought I saw the horizon.
I can't wait for like the point in which this like lime scooter cannon gets so deep that we have to do like a lime scooter supercut for our episodes.
I don't know that it might get there depending on how long these fuckers stay around, because right now we're at 3 weeks of this shit ruining some portion of a day. And
honestly, you know what I want to see? Honestly, if folks, let me know if you guys want this in the audience to make it like known whether it's worth Cal's time, but just a supercut of Cal bitching about Rog'Sai over the years would be really funny. Just every time you fully popped off about Rog'Sai, I feel like that would just be like good, just truly great for the algorithm.
If people find the clips and send them to me, I'll put them together. Mm-hmm. But I'm not digging through our hundreds of hours of content.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, all you have to do is go to the top tens and just like wait till someone mentions Rog'Sai.
The funny thing is at least like half of those will be me giving a really rational and reasonable take. And then there's like two specifically where I just like fly off the handle.
Yeah, I can think of a couple where you full just full send.
Full Cal justice. Cal justice. Mm-hmm. No, that's great. That I was going to say after our top 10 power rankings episode that we did for February and people. Reacting to my denunciation of as a creek, whatever. I'm going to start calling it creek just to piss people off. Creek,
but like, creek. That's,
down by the creek, you know, that's down here. We down here, down south, we all play out by the creek. We play those mono black decks. Listen, this is. I'm not going to go too deep into this, but I am just going to say that if you think my disdain for Rog'Sai is palpable, you actually don't know how deep it can get, because I've actually gotten more upset about Crick than anything else. Okay. Because it doesn't have a leg to stand on. It doesn't.
I don't know about that.
It doesn't. It has conceptually legs to stand on, but then when you get to the actual like games that are played and you get to the like numbers behind it, it actually has like no statistical reason to like be a thing realistically. Rog'Sai at least has like numbers, right? Like Rog'Sai at least performs reasonably. And Crick's just like, hey guys, one person played in a really inbred meta and did really well. Okay.
I don't know. I think it's like, it's okay to call the deck fringe, but also like it top 16 two slots in Festival of Nights and stuff like that. Like, so like,
there's sure. My point isn't that. Okay, let me clarify. Let me get past the. Because some people don't have the capability of understanding that I'm being like, you know, what's the word? Yeah. Hyperbolic, right? This is called hyperbole. The nuanced take is that statistically speaking, your odds of converting to a top 16 or a top four or a tournament win on Crick are exceedingly low. And my recommendation to folks is that if you want a deck that is going to give you the high, a high probability of converting, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to play something that is like Crick, that can do those sorts of things as fast as a like a turbo, you know, really quick deck like that, there are other decks that do similar things to that that are more effective at converting. And the reason I say that is we're talking about it in a competitive environment where those numbers matter. And again, like on that thing, like there were people who got upset about it, that I was sharing my opinion. And I'm like, you came to the power rankings episode
and got upset about you
and got upset about me giving an opinion. Yeah. Like that's it, guys, come on. But no, like truly the nuanced take is that Crick, I'm not saying Crick can't convert, has converted. Your odds of doing that are exceptionally low because it's not a deck that is really tooled to be able to go into a variety of environments and do well. Maybe because apparently our audience is just not like capable of understanding hyperbole. Well, I need to start saying nuance with everything. Not the whole of the Sculpty family. It's just a handful of people. But yeah, that is that. That's the reality with Crick. I stand by. I don't think the deck is very good. I don't think that it's really worth your time. But if that's what you want to do, just know that you are playing a deck that gives you exceptionally low odds of converting. I think, and that's fine. I play a lot of decks like that. Like that's not an indictment on you. It's just I get tired of seeing it pop up.
I think the TLDR in general is if you listen to Cal and you expect them not to exaggerate a little bit and say things in an inflammatory way, you may not know who you're listening to.
There are nuanced takes.
You are capable of doing so. It just doesn't mean that that's going to come out in the hour podcast where we have to talk about a number of different subjects.
Well, and the other thing, too, that I think is really important to like point out to some people, too, and this is something that I think a lot of people forget. This is at its core an entertainment product, right? So it's like, no way. Like my job is only to tell you the top 10 and give you the straightest, most clear information.
We are number people. No
spins. I give you the no spin bullshit on Twitter all the time. Like, if I, and this is the other thing that kills me. This is, I really don't want this to be an area of the grievances, but the thing that kills me about it is that if I did just give you, like, there was somebody who complained that in our, our episode about the MSIPG, we didn't read through the multiplayer MTR and IPG. And I'm sorry, commenter, but you wouldn't want that episode. You don't want that episode. They said that
they're upset.
Yes!
We didn't read it.
We didn't go through and explain the tournament rules. And I'm just like, hey, guys. Hey, folks.
I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but for our entertainment podcast, let's sit here and read a rule book. For
Rule 137.1.A.
Yeah. Also, something you as an audience member can do before consuming
is open the Twitter that we the Twitter link that we linked that has the document in it. Yes, they could have absolutely done that.
I was listening to your summary of every season of Game of Thrones, and I was upset when you didn't
read the book back to me.
When you didn't watch the entire show live before summarizing it.
It's really a shame that you didn't read the script back verbatim.
It's even more than that. It's more like, I noticed how you wrote this entire essay on Tyrion's character in Game of Thrones, and I wish we had sort of watched you watch it live every season. Oh, man. That's so funny.
Oh, yeah, dude, that was a comment I woke up to a few days ago, and I was just like, the fuck? Okay. You wouldn't want that episode, my guy. I'm telling you right now.
We'll drop our fucking ASMR, MSR, MSTRIPG.
Didn't the Mystic Remoras do that one time where they, like, Sean went and read, ASMR reading of the Gitrog Primer? Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's because Sean's voice is beautiful. And
Sean does have a great voice. If you haven't heard Sean's voice, you can hear it on our first two CEDH Awards videos. And the only reason he didn't do it on the last one was because I forgot to ask him. So, and then the day of recording that episode came around and I was like, oh, well, shoot. So anyway, we're here to answer a question that's really been popping off in the CEDH world recently. And that is, well, it's not the CD. It really is just the
no, this isn't CD April. This is
just the commander world.
Yeah.
Voha, Jaws of the Conclave, man. This card's just the worst, right? Like, everybody fucking hates this card. I don't particularly get it, but.
Do we want to, like, I think maybe in post, it would be cool to, like, put up a screenshot or two of, like, some of the initial, like, sort of dialogue, right? But, like, basically,
but here's the thing, is that so much of that dialogue was drowned in, like I don't even know if I could find the initial dialogue if you asked me to, because of the fact that there was so much, like, periphery discussion around it that I don't even know where it started. So at some point, somebody made a comment about Voha, and that descended the commander community into madness.
Oh my god, someone goes, making a Voha deck with mass land destruction, two copies of Farewell, and touching my opponent's cards without asking, and then it says, like, the star thing, bullet pierces nearest window and enters my left temple.
We figured since this card, so many people talk about it in the casual space of how oppressive it is and how much they dislike it, that usually commanders that are really, really oppressive in casual environments tend to convert fairly well to CEDH in some degree or another, generally because powerful cards are just that. They are powerful cards. And so we are going to try and is this the original post here from Murph? The original tweet here, I believe, is Wizards has been doing an amazing job designing Legends the past couple of years, but wow, does Voha feel like one of the first major mistakes in a while? This card is absolutely miserable to play against. I don't play a ton of casual Commander outside of, like, my group of, like, RC friends and other creator friends. So I don't know, like, what it is like truly. I could probably give you some stupid and contrived ideas of why I think that is, but that's not what we're here for. Today we're here to talk about this in CDH. So let's look at this card first and foremost and kind of figure out what this is, because we didn't talk about this in our set review. So this is a 5/5 legendary wolf that costs 2 generic, red, green, and white. It has 3 different static abilities, keyword abilities, of Vigilance, Trample, and Ward 3. And then it has a triggered ability: whenever Voha attacks, put X +1/+1 counters on each creature you control, where X is the number of elves you control, then draw a card for each wolf you control. So immediately there's a couple of things that stick out to me with this as a card. Is the first, like, thing this reminds me of, just because of, like, some of the card typing attached to it, is it feels very reminiscent of, like, Atraxa in a way, and of Tivit in a way, and how both of them have, like, that wall of, like, stat of, like, of just, like, keyword abilities, where it makes it kind of hard to deal with, right? What yeah. are your thoughts on this?
So, I mean, like, I invited you into a Moxfield.
Sweet.
I am insanely skeptical of this deck. I will mm-hmm. say, like, the raw number of, like, stats that it puts on things, like, a counter for each elf you control is definitely, like, big, right? So, like, even if you're playing a bunch of mana dorks, you know, it is able to sort of just immediately buff your entire team to an excessive amount, right? Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that, like, immediately, like, shouts out to me, right, is, like, I look at this commander and I go, okay, it's an attack trigger, right? It's an attack trigger that does not produce mana, does not have any loops, does not do anything like that, right? It definitely wins, like, the fair plan pretty quickly, but it doesn't even have haste, right? Mm-hmm. So, for me, if I'm looking at, like, how would I build this as a CEDH deck, right, one of my first thoughts is, like, okay, well, what are the cards that make it so that these cards are already, like, high card quality, and that when Voha attacks, it's, quote, free value, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's the stuff I'm thinking about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I think mm-hmm. there is some interesting ideas just looking at EDH rec as far yeah. as, like, some I think Roaming Throne is a cute idea to add. Hilarious. With that
yeah meaning wolf, right?
Yeah and then just kind of seeing some of the general, like, synergies with yeah. elves.
You just play elf ball, like
yeah, like that is kind of my thought is you're yeah. just kind of playing not necessarily Marwyn, mm-hmm. but like a Marwyn or a mm-hmm. Silvala-esque deck.
Yeah.
And then you get access to Dockside, Ragavan, Dranath, yeah. all those good mm-hmm. cards. So maybe where we should start then
yeah.
is, like, looking at those, like, elf ball decks, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. maybe seeing, like, taking some inspiration from that.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, so, like, if I am looking at this card, and I'm not doing the shortcut version of this, right? Myself as a brewer, my instinct is to go to Scryfall, right? Mm-hmm. And then take my time and go hit elf, and then next sequentially go and hit wolf, and then see, like, what's even playable out of those selects, mm-hmm. right? And obviously filter by the colors and do it appropriately, right?
Right.
One thing we can do here, which is, like, a fun little lesson for our friends at home. So let's type in the elf thing, right? Okay, yeah.
If I do both, it'll look for both of it. Mm-mm.
Hit a lot of partial type matches.
Oh, thank you. Yep. I knew that.
And then filter our colors, right?
And then legal link commander.
Yep.
Boop, boop, boop. Oh, and also, then, for the people at home who ask why we don't use the EDH rec thing in Moxfield, it is because it is not great for the viewing experience for the people at home. Yeah. Like, it doesn't really make for a good visual experience, and that's
yeah.
primarily why.
So, if you copy that tab there, Cal.
Mm-hmm.
So
we can just paste that into.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I got you. Moxfield and Scryfall work really well together. So you can actually paste a Scryfall search into your Moxfield, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And that way you can add stuff right to the deck. Unfortunately, you can't do that and still filter it by
mana value?
By EDH rec rank, which is how I usually like to filter it. It's like most likely played cards in Commander. You know what I mean? That way you avoid shit like draft commons and whatnot. Which, you know, sometimes that's. You get more cards for casual, but, like, it's still.
I didn't even know that was a thing you could do. That's cool.
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't mind typing it, going over here and typing it, or you can type it in while we look. Right?
I can type it in while you.
Because this might be a little bit more visually effective for our audience. Yeah. So I think right off the bat, like, I think that I'm okay adding these three mana dorks in.
You gotta. Here we go.
Manowar Elves, Elvish Mystic, Finhorn Elves. Like, if we're doing Elf Ball, we're going to at least put them into first draft. I think that makes a reasonable amount of sense. I also
think, like, let's get the Arbor Elf in there, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Also, Beast Whisper, potentially good. I don't know if we want it or not, but it's worth mentioning. I mean,
at least sideboard it, right?
Yeah. Bloom Tender, very good. We have discussed at length on this show how good we think that card is.
Yeah, it's definitely a little tough given given the current shape of the format, but still a good card.
Yep. Silvala, another good one.
Yeah, I was wondering if Silvala is good enough.
Yeah, I think Silvala is good enough. I think it gets... One of the things that I think is really interesting with Silvala is it will progressively get bigger. And I think, and so it's not as like immediately explosive, but I think you can also get some like long-term value out of it, which I think is
hot.
Rishkar will probably be a good add given that we're putting +1/+1 counters on everything. Priest of Titania, right? Gyre Sage, yeah. I don't know if Marowyn is quite there, but it's a thunk.
Devoted Druid is kind of funny.
Bro, I did... Oh, we can put the whole, like, Devoted Druid package in this. The only question I have is, like, what are we using the mana for, I guess.
But, you're right.
Delina...
Fellowship is gonna definitely be there, though.
I didn't know Delina was an elf. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I don't know if we play it.
If Galena makes copies of our commander, they don't trigger the attack triggers.
Correct. Right? Let's see here. Obviously, add ESG.
Okay.
Let's see. What else do we got here? Fierce Empath is part of that like creature combo nonsense. We'll probably want a Kurian Ranger. More than likely we'll want a Kurian Ranger, right? Like, I mean, it's just like more than likely we'll want this.
Well, Penny Prax is an elf. I didn't know that one.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. That's really cool. Let's see.
DDH Stable Yeva.
Oh my gosh, no. Please, why? Why would you bring this to my doorstep? Why would you do this to me? Jorga Tree Speaker. Jorga Tree Speaker is a good card that green players like to play. This is where my knowledge is like significantly less is on green creature combo. It's a thing that I'm like not as good at.
Did somebody say creature combo? Well, this is the problem, is right? Is that this is not a creature combo deck.
Right. Yes, I don't know. We can. It is and it isn't, right? Like it's a. I think the way I would go with it is playing it almost like it is Silvala Brostorm, effectively. But
I don't think that makes any sense because Silvala helps with that plan, right?
Sure, sure.
I'm adding the Copperline Scout and Rada. Just as potential options here.
Yeah.
No, that's Copperline Forge.
Copperline Scout. Let's see.
I wonder if Rocco is going to end up being worth it.
It might.
I thought you straight up only had elves showing. It's just because wolves are that bad.
Yeah, there are not very many good wolves.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like the wolf part of it is the part that I'm just like, okay, so it draws a card when it attacks, right, basically.
Right, it's a cantrip. What's the changeling that everybody gets really hard for that's in white?
It was right over here when I was looking at it. It is Mirror Entity.
Mirror Entity, yes.
What the fuck? You good?
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Oh, yeah, the secret letter fell off my desk.
Oh, man. Must be nice. let's keep on going. I don't see like a ton of great stuff.
Yeah, I don't really see a lot either.
I think. Yeah, I think what I might want to do then is just like take a look at this this in like what let's do this before we go any further with like adding stuff to it that we might be wanting to do.
Right.
How do we want to win the game with this deck?
Yeah, that's the question, right? Is like, what is this deck doing, right? Honestly, I think the idea is really weird.
Okay.
I think in general, given the quality of potential elves, right, I don't think Elf Ball is a viable strategy, given the fact that we do not have a payoff for Elf Ball in the command zone, right? What we have is a payoff for combat damage, right?
Right.
So to me, what this indicates is we have elves as our mana enablers, right?
Right.
And because they are sort of incidentally available, when our commander comes down, it's sort of just triggering for a bunch of stuff in general. Mm-hmm. And the counters are sort of the game plan we can rely upon. You know what I mean?
And I think it's important that if you have one elf, it's at least going to put a +1/+1 counter on every creature you control.
Right.
So the
more your commander at worst is cantripping too, right? Like,
right. Well, it's cantripping and only cantripping, right? So it's like if you have one elf and it attacks, you're putting a +1/+1 on your entire board.
Yeah.
And you are cantripping. So it's like you, you get to do some of that stuff. So I think like, I don't know that we have to go too deep into the elf thing. I think that the elf thing is there where we want to have like maybe one or two, but it's not the end of the world. So, and I think that's where like the changeling type cards are helpful in some places. But
is this
I don't know that we want to get too wrapped up into the creature type part of it.
Sure. Is this like a Huntmaster of the Fells deck?
I gotta remember what that does. Wow, I can spell. Wow, how many attempts did that take me? Holy shit. Whenever this creature is in the battlefield and you gain two life, if no spells are cast, transform. It might be. That's not bad. Four mana's a bit. But like, I don't know, it can convert into cards. So
I think that's
the worst idea. So let's kind of settle on a win package, I think, is where I would kind of want to go with this. Is I think that we'll have a better idea of what direction we want to go if we decide what our win con is going to be. My thought is we have the ability to do like the pay a bunch of mana into mirror entity one, which I think is just there no matter what. Right.
Sure.
The other idea I have, and you're better at like the whole, you know, creature combo thing is that we could potentially make a like Kiki pod type deck maybe that like uses this to get card advantage. I don't know. I'm kind of throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. And anytime I play Naya, my first thought is, oh, I could play Kiki pod, and so that's just kind of my default.
Right. I don't think necessarily that's where we need to go with it, especially because like at the end of the day, I think like there's a lot of stuff that looks a lot better than that. You know what I mean? I think like to me, this is just a deck where it's okay. Here is my commander. That is my big value engine. Let's play some sack pieces and beat people to death. I think is honestly the most realistic game plan. And then the other thing we could also come to a conclusion on is that this is not a CDH deck.
It might not be a CDH deck. I mean, I think it has like something, right? Like I think it might be able to, I think that, First of all, for the viewers at home, I would like to make this abundantly clear that this was Ian's idea.
I'm definitely
looking at
that.
Ian's the one who's over here being like, "No, it might not be a deck. We might just give up on this." And I'm just sitting here and I'm like, "Well, you know, we could do this. It might have legs here, and so it might give you, the viewer, the impression that I'm the mad scientist here." The reality is that Footbart over there is more than willing to throw out these crazy ideas when we're just off camera, when there's no record of the crazy idea. But as soon as the cameras are on and the chips are on the table,
I did not once deny that I was the person who came up with the idea. I thought it was a good bit.
Yeah, so I think, like, I definitely agree that I have questions about its validity, but I think that overall, I think, like, there's some compelling text on it that makes me think that, like, honestly, if it didn't have Ward, I'd be like, "Bruh." But the fact that it's, like, kind of hard to get rid of once it comes down is, like, kind of intriguing, right? Like, so I think that is, like, something.
I agree with you.
I think my overall thought is, what is the most compact and clean win condition that we can put into it in Naya? Because I think, like, that is ultimately because this is one of the things we've talked about on this channel a lot, right? Is when you have commanders like this that are, you know, advantage in the command zone, so it were, you have to have, like, the win con in the deck. And so I think what we've kind of done is it's like the opposite issue of Rocco, where Rocco is like, here's the way I'm going to win in the command zone. And this, it's like, okay, here's my advantage. It's in the command zone. My win is in the deck. And so I think that's kind of why I'm like, okay, so, like, what, how do we want to find, like, run the package of how we win? And I think that's why my immediate thought is doing something with, like, we can do, there's a couple different ways we could go with it. We could do, like, the Kiki infinite, like, dudes thing, which is fairly easy to set up in Naya. We could also do, like, a combat, extra combat type deck, which...
Yeah, that definitely, like, gets out of hand very quickly, right?
Yes.
But the problem with that is definitely, like, the... how do we get those in here kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. The other option too is we could go with the just full beat down plan. I'm not as big of a fan on that one personally because of the fact that I think this is the type of deck that, well, I don't even think that is, it's a unique to this type of deck. I think those decks in general are incredibly susceptible to just getting blown the fuck out by a board wipe, because they're so board dependent that the minute their board goes away, they're out of the game entirely. And I don't think that you're in colors that win. Like, a great example is, like, Tivit does a lot of that, like, in Najila is another good one, where it's like they kind of overwhelm you with a board presence and they'll get blown out by a board wipe. The difference is they're both in black and white and have very clean and succinct win conditions. So they're very easy to, or blue and black, excuse me, but they're very easy to just pivot into something else. And so that's my concern with, like, going the full Jetmir route. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, so, like, that is my biggest qualm with this commander, period. Right. Is that, like, I don't know what else it does, right? Like, there, it does not open itself up to combos. It does not assist in any combos. It does not help you actually end the game apart from combat damage, right? So, like, yeah, we could make it a bad Timnatana, right? But, like, I don't know. That seems like a waste of a lot of people's time, right? Like,
listen, there's people in our comments who are trying to argue with me about why Crick is viable, so...
No, get out of here, though. I mean, I mean, genuinely, I think like the commander supports a beatdown plan, right? Any mm-hmm. other combos would be basically fluff, right? Like that sure. is.
Yeah, well, I mean, and my rationale is that if you put in another combo, right, mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. are going, okay, I plan on just beating you in the face most of the time.
Yeah.
But if I am hedging against getting blown out by a board right. wipe or by like these things where I have to yeah. rebuild and I'm going to have a hard yeah. time doing that. And so mm-hmm. that's my argument for having like a pod line of some sort, right? Where mm-hmm, you can just mm-hmm. like, okay, so we're not doing this. We're going to go on this direction and it's really easy. Cool. Okay. I have a three drop. I can just go.
Right.
And I think that's,
so here's
that's
my other thought. Criticism I have of that is the mm-hmm. fact that a pod line does work best with a three drop in the command
it
zone.
Does. Right. It does.
So the fact that this is a bad pod commander on top of that
yeah.
makes me concerned. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. I am trying to do the episode that we both signed up on and trying to figure out how to make it work, Ian.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes there are lessons to be learned in like this commander probably just doesn't make the cut, right? Like that is, I mean, that is, it, I am fine with that being the thesis of the episode, which is like, this commander is only so good because it doesn't push it the boundaries of this, right? Like, I'm okay with a science experiment being a failure, right? So, I mean, the answer to the question of, you know, is Voha a commander we can make CEDH viable? Probably not, because a lot of like the innate baked in synergies that a lot of people mm-hmm. are relying upon in the casual space, right? You're not allowed to get away with those things in a CEDH right. pod, like you mentioned, right? Like, think about like all of these decks that just win with a board state. I mean, I played Sisse last weekend and it slapped people around because it could build a board state out of nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. And that is like a skill that deck has, whereas this one is not only reliant on there being a board state, but not only that, but like having a board state, allowing your commander to resolve, allowing your commander to go to combat after you already right. have a board state and get an entire turn off, right? I mean, you compared it to Savala like right in the beginning, right? And that is a great example, because Savala is one of those commanders where if you give it a turn to untap, you're dead. You know what I mean? Like, that is 90% of the time they are pushing for a win. If you give this commander time to untap, it is attacking and putting some counters on your creatures, right?
That's true. I guess Silvala does. There is a combo with this deck. And Aggravated Assault and Silvala. Which you need to have all three on the battlefield, and Silvala can't be summoning sick. Is basically the or has a way to activate. So you need to have
Well, that's why I also put Rada in the 99 as well, mm-hmm. right? For that reason, because right. Rada plus Aggravated Assault plus five creatures goes infinite too, yeah. right?
And so maybe that's the direction that you would take it, right? Like, I think yeah. that it makes some more sense than the other yep. lines, right? Like, I think that is a direction.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not saying let's give up midway through the episode, right? But yeah. more so what I'm saying is like, here are the innate flaws in what we're doing.
Right.
This is where you as a deck builder need to accept these realities and move forward, right? Like, I'm not gonna, you know, be critical of a lot of the top decks in the format week after week and then come here and be like, but this pile of garbage is fucking S tier, right? It's like, no.
Right.
it's respectfully a pile of garbage and we gotta figure out how that works, right? Turntable Masswood is actually really hot.
the only issue I have with it is that we're not in great colors to do Masswood Nexus stuff.
Are we not?
I mean, like, you can potentially with a Magda. The issue is like,
I think we're that's deep down in the sauce.
I don't know. I guess you have white, so I guess you can tutor it.
I mean, you have to Lightning Tutor at the very least, right?
Yeah.
Also, Masquid Nexus, just as a card you draw in this deck, turning like a Draenith Magistrate into an elf and a wolf, is like
very good. Yeah. So, like, you know, here's some cards to add then: Turn Timber okay. Ranger, Masquid yeah. Nexus.
There you go.
Now we're and then Aggravated Assault. Like, I think that might be
the core wing pieces that we build around.
Yeah. And which is, once again, Cal, like this is kind of my point, right? If we're playing it as a bad Kiki deck, that's one thing entirely, right? Here's actual synergies with stuff we're trying to do, right? Down for that.
Yeah. So this is at some level intriguing. So like we're an aggravated assault style deck, I guess. Mm-hmm. Is what,
which is apparently like our thing on this podcast nowadays.
We're now 2 for 2 on that. Let's see. What are other cards like aggravated assault?
This is what we came to last week. There's not cards like aggravated assault.
Well, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go MTG assist.
What the fuck is that?
It is a website where you can type in a card name and find cards that are similar to it. Let's see. So aggravated assault seems like it's about it. Like that.
That's what I'm saying. Aggravated assault is insanely unique.
It really is.
There's like the dragon. That's literally it.
Yeah, I guess the dragon is another thing that you can do with that. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go into this and like kind of fill this out with more like, you know, cards.
More meat.
Did you not add Maskwood Nexus?
No.
Jesus, you make me do everything. God. All right, so we got Maskwood Nexus, aggravated assaults. We've got the boys. I think this is a great time to start adding in our staple cards, right? So I think we go 29 Montagnes. Evidently, if I type mountains, it doesn't just know what I'm meaning. All right, cool. Let's go in here. Let's add the.
Are we adding the dragon? I feel like we should.
What's the name of the dragon again? I forget the name.
Hellkite Charger.
Hellkite Charger.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that is. It does need to attack. It has haste. It's fine. Whatever. Yeah. That is mildly annoying though, because if it gets removed, you're kind of SOL. Whereas, like, I guess you can only activate that as a sorcery. So you just have to do it like infinitely on your. Okay. All right. So I guess we basically we have the Silvala combo and we have the Grand Warlord Rada combo, but I think it's also probably realistic to have some way to make a lot of red mana. So I think, a great, candidate for that is Dockside Extortionist.
Whoa.
This is a shock to everybody in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should probably play our boy Ragavan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I might be pushing it on that one.
Yeah. Definitely a hot take on that one. Yeah, I mean, let's look at our silences too, right? Like silence, Ranger Captain, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Ranger Captagne.
Almost wondering if this is like a Heliod Ballista deck too, because of all the counter synergies. You know what I mean?
It might be. It might be
like even just like going to combat with like three elves on the battlefield and then like just like throwing three counters on a ballista, like really allows you to like control the board pretty aggressively. Right.
Yeah. I can get behind that. Let's see. let's add in some more. You have the like packages thing, right? Why don't we add in some of your packages? Yeah. Like our mana package, our all that stuff.
Should be able to see it now.
Reloading. Whoa, magic.
Together, me.
This is so cool. So we got our Chromoxes, our Jeweled Lotus, our Lotus Petal, all that good stuff. And then
found a cool combo here in the Selesnya section of EDA Trek. You ready?
Okay.
Heroic Intervention and Armageddon.
This week on The Mind Sculptors, how to terrorize your local casual group. Oh, cast God. Armageddon, hold priority, heroic intervention.
Yep.
Is this a win? Is this a win con?
Did I do it? The butterfly meme.
You know what? You're the Naya dude in the pairing of us. You know, what are more things that we should add in this, Ian?
Shalai and Hilaire is like pretty funny in this deck, I'm not gonna lie.
That does synergize very, very well.
Just like, hey, how do you guys like dying very quickly?
I wonder if one, what is it, all will be one, is decent.
Technically the same card, right? Yeah, so I guess probably.
On a permanent or player, all will be one deals that much damage to target opponent, creatures, and opponent controls, or planeswalker opponent controls. Yeah. That seems... Yeah,
you go to combat and you just like machine gun down the entire board.
That actually seems pretty good, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm starting to like this deck slowly more at the 50th minute of the deck of the episode. This is great content. Great content. Good. All right. What all do we want to add here?
Draenith. Let's go through the white staples, right? You need Draenith. You need.
Do we have what's the
probably Mind Center.
Grand Abolisher.
No,
we don't.
No, I don't think so. Grand Abolisher is best in decks where we are trying to protect something, right? This is not a deck where we are protecting something. You are just going to Smorg face, right?
Aren't we protecting our combo with Aggravated Assault?
Yeah, I mean, I genuinely think our combos are going to work like 2% of the time, if I'm being honest. Like, this is not a combo deck. This is a grind our opponents out of resources and eventually get a combo deck.
We can cut it later. First pass. Sure. what was the other card you mentioned?
Aven Mind Sensor.
Aven Mind Sensor.
Definitely need a Dauntless Dismantler.
We want to have a Blind Obedience.
Probably, yeah.
Probably Trouble in Pairs.
Yeah, that seems fine.
Card is broken.
Yeah,
I agree. An Esper Sentinel's hilarious here.
Yep.
factual funny.
Yeah.
Esper Sentinel is pretty Gucci.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm like blinking on every card that I would want to add to this, dude.
We need some like instants, right? So we want like Pyroblast, Red Blast. I cast my Iroblast.
let's see. Worldly Tutor. Enlightened Tutor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe if I spelled it right, it would fucking enlightened.
You spelled it the Italian way.
Enlightened Tutor. Enlightened Tutor. We probably also want a Finale of Devastation. Probably a Court of Calling. Probably, why is that the one it defaulted to? Fuck off.
I don't know that this is a great core deck, to be honest.
I don't know. We can cut it later.
Yeah,
first pass. Then we want Invasion of Ikoria. That's a good card. What are other good cards, Ian? You're the time twisty winner. You've got the double fisty twisties, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know.
Jumble? It
depends on like what we're,
Jumble?
No, not
at all. We don't want Jumble?
No.
Okay.
I think it, you know, Gamble's a good card, but like in a deck where we are probably strapped for cards 99.9% of the time, I don't think that's what we're trying to do here, to be honest. Sure. I think we need to, the tough part is, right, we very much need artifacts for some of the combo potentials, right, like the Ballista and stuff like that, but also, like, this would be, like, a very good, like, oof deck.
I am of the opinion that I think we're perfectly okay just playing Blind Obedience and Dauntless Dismantler.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say of playing both. And I was like, psycho.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, I think I personally am kind of the opinion, if we want to go into that, that I actually think playing null rods and oofs are like a trap right now. I think it's not, I think too many people play that and then get comfortable. And I don't think that you can afford to do that in this metagame.
Okay. Hear me out here.
Okay.
This might be... So we'd have to not play the turn Timber Ranger combo.
Okay.
But... And I guess Rishkar gets a little worse. But I'm kind of into this as a potential anti-ETB deck.
Okay.
Yeah.
We could do that.
Because we don't really care about a ton of the ETBs in this deck, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Also, it's like one of the very few ways we can guarantee some sort of speed, right? Because this deck is slow, right? Like, that is a huge downside of it, right? So I'm talking about, like, let's get our Doorkeeper Thralls, let's get our Hushbringers, you know, all that jazz.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right, cool. Yep. Because, like, I think in the current metagame, right, having tempo pieces like Dauntless and Blind Obedience is awesome, right? But you see those pieces thriving in decks like Blue Farm and Sisse and stuff like that, that can then proceed to take advantage of them on a very extreme angle, right?
Yep.
Whereas we need more time.
what's the artifact that does this?
Torpor Orb.
Torpor Orb. Torpor Orb. Orb. I'm just going to keep making the same mouth sounds over and over again.
I will refrain from any number of jokes that I want to currently make.
Let's see here. Is just Shalai decent in this? Like the good old fashioned protect my stuff, shall I?
If anything, I'd want to play green white or Sigarda, and even then, I don't really.
Yeah, listen, I'm just throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks, baby.
Classic. Yeah. You didn't have to trash it. You could at least put it in the considering board. question for you.
Okay. Answer for you.
Our green tutors, right? You're like without even looking at our creatures, right? Think about it top of your head. What are you tutoring for?
I don't know. Probably one of the combo pieces.
Which are...
You have Silvala, you have Hellkite Charger, you have Rada, you have Heliod, you have Ballista, you have Dockside, which is part of making the infinite mana for Doorkeeper Thrall. We probably want to have Moonblessed Cleric so that we can easily tutor up Heliod or get Aggravated Assault like as another card that we can get that with, that also synergizes with what we're doing because it is an elf. So I don't know. Like, I think we have a lot of things that we could get with it.
Yeah, you just described some ETBs that we might want, though.
It's true. That's true. I specifically described one. Well, two. Excuse me. But the I think that might be where we don't hear. Okay, hang with. You know, follow me. Let me cook. Yeah, right, baby. Let's not play the Torpor. Only play the creature ones.
No.
No, but I said let me cook. the reason being is that we can then play our pod, like a pod, or we could play the Eldritch Evolution and make it go away when we want to get the Dockside or the piece of the puzzle that, like, needs an ETB for us so that we have an easy way to get into it.
So we can play the disruptive piece and we can do both. We can do both.
That is a theory that many people have tried and consistently fails with stacks. Always. You never have the sacrifice outlet for the stacks pieces that are holding you back when you want it. It never works. People try that shit all the time. It is Dookie Town. It does not work. So if we don't want to play ETBs and we want to use the ETBs, let's use the ETBs, right? Mm-hmm. Point. My original question was wondering how deep into the green tutors we want to go, because it feels like we're okay with drawing a lot of our pieces, right? As opposed to needing to tutor them specifically, right?
Yeah.
So, and if that's the case, then we can play containment piece and graph digger's cage and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. And hate out the other green decks in the format.
That's not a bad idea. I don't know.
Right.
I don't hate that idea. Yeah. I actually don't hate that idea.
We keep our ETBs. But maybe we sort of dunk on the other green decks.
Yeah. So we go take that out, take out these. Rocco. Can you fucking work, computer? Jesus. Where's Rocco? There you are, you little bastard.
Invasion.
Yeah. And so, bro, internet, you good? Actually, it might be that we're doing the same thing at the same time. And
yeah,
Moxfield just went.
But he and you. All right. So
Moon Blast, all of the people.
the worst. And it's an elf. What? Why didn't we talk about that earlier?
What card?
Moonblast Cleric.
I don't know.
Okay, so we're taking out the end of the battlefield hate, right?
Yeah, we can do that. I think that's fine. I don't love the end of the battlefield hate personally. I think that it is fine. Springer. Right. Are we doing the same thing at the same time again?
Yep. Refresh. I already did.
Cool. Thanks, babe.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Moonblast Cleric. Good magic card. Mm-hmm. Good magic card, turns out. And it is a devotee of Saluna, which fans of Baldur's Gate would know is Shadowheart's mortal enemies. Ian, we need to get you to play Baldur's Gate. We should do a Baldur's Gate playthrough together. I think that'd be very fun.
I can fuck with it.
That would be good content. We could stream that together.
Mm. Hey, audience, let us know in the comments down below if you want to see that.
Yeah. We'll do a non-honor mode run so we don't so you don't just die.
okay.
I'm not going to get too off topic, but I am just going to point out to our audience and fans who do Baldur's Gate at home. I have been ruined by honor mode because I have tried multiple attempts to just do a casual story playthrough of it. Mm-hmm. And honor mode has ruined me because so much of the fun of Baldur's Gate now has been the challenge of honor mode. Because the game.
What is honor mode?
So honor mode is you get one save file, so you can't save scum, is a huge part of it. And then it's permadeath. So once the party TPKs, it's game over.
Oh God.
So it's if you get into a situation and you fucked up, if you can't get the fuck out of dodge, it's game over.
Okay.
But that level of intensity to it has mm-hmm. made the game so engaging. Because I already loved the game and already thought it was super engaging, but it's this whole other access to it that mm-hmm. makes everything feel just so much more high stakes.
Right.
And so I have deeply enjoyed playing honor mode, but I will gladly not play honor mode with you.
In the meantime, I have added while you're ranting about Baldur's Gate, which I promised listening to.
No, I believe you.
Rhythm of the Wild, Roaming Throne, and Deafening Silence.
Also looks like you added Incubation Druid.
Oh yeah, I added that 7 years ago, pretty sure.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm kinda down for some sort of haste stuff, right? Either a generator servant or a lightning greaves or something like that. Just get our plan on the thing a little bit.
I've got bigger, the perfect card. I've got the perfect card, Ian. Need for speed.
No, not need for speed.
I didn't know that card existed before your Narset deck, and it ruined me, because now every time I'm like, I need a haste enabler, a Snoop Dogg starts playing in my head, and I'm like, yeah, we got there.
That's so funny. Are we playing Cemetery Prowler?
I don't think we are, but I think we could.
He's a doggy.
He's a dog. He's got that dog in him.
He does have that dog in him.
Is that the episode title of this? We got that dog. We got that dog in him. He got that dog in him. BRB, renaming the deck.
Damn, I liked my name, but that's definitely just strictly worse for sure.
You can refresh now.
Yeah.
We're now two. This isn't quite as much of a mess as last week's, where we just completely devolved into just hideous laughter for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But this is now 2 weeks in a row where we have just absolutely nailed the name of the deck.
Yeah, for sure. I you know, one thing, I'm going to make an adjustment to the deck. Slight tangent that I think you in particular would like, right?
Perfect.
And it's reminding me of this because this card keeps getting suggested by EDH Rex and stuff like that.
Okay.
So you know one of the partner commanders, Anara, the wolf that gives your commander indestructible on your turn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is an Ardent deck.
Okay.
This suggestion for an Ardent deck. So you play Ardent and Anara in the command zone, right?
I'm willing to just say okay because you're already on for an Ardent deck. I'm already in. Ian suggested an Ardent deck, and that was all I needed, baby. I'm in. You don't need to say anything else. I'm in. It's already perfect.
And the main win condition, ready?
Is Ian played Ardent.
Is me playing Ardent. No, is you use the two of them, so you need both your commanders out. You go to combat on your turn, and you equip World Slayer to Ardent.
Okay.
Are you familiar with World Slayer?
I'm very, for our audience, it's for the kids at home.
For the kids at home, yeah.
It's for the people who aren't aware of what this card is. Whenever equipped, creature deals combat damage to a player. It's perfect. I love it. No notes.
So for those who didn't hear, it's whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, destroy all permanents other than World Slayer. So with Anara and Ardent, you can go to combat. You can swing in if you connect with a player. Because your commanders are indestructible, the only permanents left on the battlefield are your commanders and World Slayer. And once again, it destroys everything other than World Slayer. So you can just go to combat every turn, and as long as somebody doesn't play a creature to block you, you can just chip away at your opponents and blow up every permanent.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Perfect. I fucking love it. Well, I think we have a lot of a deck here.
Yes.
I gotta be honest, my interest in this has waned significantly over the past 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's kind of send the kids home with a lesson here today. I think the lesson should be play board wipes.
Play
board wipes, play removal. Not everything is a CEDH commander, and that's okay.
Yeah.
If you want to build this as your commander in CEDH, God bless.
Yeah.
That's what we did there, folks.
No, I mean, so like, you know, you kind of heard me kind of go in that rant a little bit earlier this episode, right? But like, the idea is definitely like, you can make a Voha deck and bring it to a CEDH table. I do not think it will be good. I think you're going to die to the first Toxic Deluge that hits the stack, right? But there is a chance you could like show up and shark a bunch of people on this because of the fact that they're not ready for something like that, right? You also heard us like talk about different packages that you can find in the Naya Stax-esque deck, right? This is just like, to me, it's got more hoops than Jetmir, right? You know, there's some argument about Jetmir only puffing power and things like that, but Jetmir is already a deck that's in the fringes of the format in general, right?
Yeah.
Because Stax is in a bad place, right? So the sort of conceit of the episode was, can this commander be CEDH? And like the very, you know, looking through a microscope level answer is, yeah, sure. Right. But like, as you can tell, Cal and I are no longer like jazzed about this because you're jumping through some hoops, right? Mm-hmm. To play some less than efficient combos, to be honest. They're yeah, definitely lacking on a number of different levels, right? So
maybe. No, I mean, that's my takeaway. Is that reaction right there.
Yeah. Just John. But it's like you're doing some cool stuff, but at the end of the day, it's just it does not have the enough zip, enough power, enough just raw energy behind it to be able to push through. Now,
Voha's just a puppy, guys.
Just a dog.
You got to have that dog in you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there are certain commanders that's like, for example, Yuriko, right? Like when people Yuriko came up, people complained about in casual all the time because genuinely, I've seen people be like, oh, wait, let me switch over to a CDH version and swap five cards out. You know what I mean? It's like that's all you like had to do. Right. And so people accidentally made very high power Yuriko decks all the time. Right. Winota was the exact same way. Right. And those things sort of fell into place now, whereas you're hearing us describe this Voha deck and it's like, we are jumping through some major circus hoops. Does that mean that the card's not strong in casual? No, it's a very powerful card for casual. Enjoy it, right? Like you can make a very efficient, like lighter on combo, lighter on stacks version of this deck that probably wins turn four or five a bunch, right? But at a CEDH table where people are responsible with interaction, where they play board wipes, where they are countering things on the stack, where they're able to, I mean, don't get me wrong, you could bring this and it could sit at a table and sort of be the parasite of the game and like run away with it and steamroll if nobody respects it at all, right? But, you know, people learn to pay ward three for Tivit, they would pay ward three for this too, you know what I mean?
So. No, totally. Well, if people want more of your coaching expertise, Ian, where can people find you?
Yeah, as I mentioned, it's been a good week as a coach. I had a top four player in the Chaos tournament. So if you're interested in it, not that this hasn't happened before, I've had several recipients, you know, make top cuts and stuff like that before. It's just that there was one fresh on my mind and they were very excited about it. So shout out to them. But if you're interested in CEDH coaching in any capacity from yours truly, you can find, first of all, you can find me at my other YouTube channel, Comedian MTG. There's also all of my links and stuff like that will be in the description of those videos. So you can find me at comedianmtg@gmail.com. You can find me over at Twitter at comedianmtg or comedian_MTG on Discord. Just hit me up any of those places. We can talk about rates, times, availabilities, all that stuff. I also have a Patreon if you want to go through that means as well. So yeah, CEDH coaching, really cool stuff. Seen a lot of really great results from people, and it's a good time to be a coach. So
yeah, we'll definitely check that out. Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TheMindSculptors. And yeah, thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Bye.